Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Tom Ackerman. His voice is heard throughout the day on KMOX. In fact, I could make the case that you hear his voice more than anyone else's on the radio station. Yet, I'll bet you don't know him. You will now. He is our creative director at KMOX Radio, Dave King. Dave, give us a little bit.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Tom.
He's next on KMOX Profiles.
Welcome to Profiles. From entertainers to athletes, political leaders to entrepreneurs, Profiles gives you an insight into what has made these unique personalities who and what they are today. Now, Profiles on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
And we're joined by Dave King. This is a really good idea. I'm really happy about this. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you, Tom?
I'm doing great. And you are a voice that people hear throughout the day. We're talking about the voice that introduces different parts of the station, different elements, promotional announcements. And you've narrated our holiday radio show for many years, so people got to see you in person if they were so fortunate to be at the Sheldon. But it's a great part of our radio station is imaging, and that's another thing that you do. Aside from your voice, you create a lot of the audio that our listeners hear from day to day.
That's
You're
right.
A busy man.
I'm a pretty busy man. I have a little room that I sit in most of the day, and ideas come in from different people, and we start to break them down and how we're going to come up with a concept to present it on the air, from bad weather. You know, how do you talk about bad weather? Many different angles you can take. You can go, hey, you know, it's going to be a great weekend to get out and hit the slopes at Hidden Valley or Art Hill and do a little sledding or Steinberg and do some skating. And then you can turn it around and go, but you got to get there first. So how are you going to do that? Stay with KMOX and the Storm Center. We'll keep you up to date with all the traffic information. So there's the different ways that you can present things. So
it's, and you'll come up with like a, you know, the sound of a storm and, you know, try to like, you know, get people's attention is what you're trying to do, are you not?
Yeah, you paint a picture. It's basically what I do is I paint a picture through voice and through sound. So when you sit down and you do something, let's say for the Cardinals, you want to make sure that Rooney's in there. You want to make sure that Shannon's in there. There's crowd noise in there. It's pumping. I mean, there's great music going. And you bring your sound of your voice up to meet the sound that you're developing in this 30 or 60 seconds that you want to present on the air. So, I mean, you're hearing me kind of in a quiet, nice, conversational way, but there's many different sounds that, you know, I can create to get that sound that works with that piece of audio that I've put together.
I've heard people say that to me, that I have my voice and then I have a radio voice. So I'm like, well, I'm not going to walk around the house and be like, hey, kids, does anybody want to go get a sandwich?
Good morning, Mom. It's 8:10, 8 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. We're here with some sunshine and warm weather today.
Hey, is anyone taking the trash out? You know, like if I call,
pass the butter, would you please?
He passes the butter. He's going into the refrigerator. I like, you know, when I call a game or do a sports cast or do a newscast, I'm showing more enthusiasm than a casual conversation about a book that I read or something around the house. But I am talking, I think, on the radio just as I am in real life, I guess. I don't know. This is real life. I mean, we're on the radio. But do you have people say that to you? Like, hey, wait, let me ask you this.
Do your radio voice, Dave.
Yeah, yeah. Do people say, hey, do this
thing? Yeah, occasionally I'll get that because, you know, listening to me right now, I'm not really doing anything. I'm broken English. We don't speak in correct ways that you actually hear when you hear a sportscast, a newscast. You know, people take pauses, people take a breath, they don't finish a sentence, they go on to another thought. But when it comes to what we do on the air, we have a certain amount of time to present something. So we end up presenting it very clearly, very concisely, and we put the energy into it.
Yes, we do. You're my next door neighbor. Your office and studio is right next to ours here.
Sorry about all the thumping.
No, yeah, I can always tell when you're working on a really good project because I can hear the bass booming through the wall. Not very often though. This room that we're in right now, just to kind of let people inside. This is our KMOX sports office, which is also a studio, and the walls in this room are very nice quality. I mean, the sound does not bounce around, as you can tell. This is a fairly big room, one of the bigger offices, I think, at the station. And yours is one of the smaller ones. Kind of describe.
Yeah, Tom, we got to talk about that.
Let's say, yeah, do you want to trade? No, I'm not. Well, we can arrange something if you wanted to. Describe your room, what you walk into and what you're doing.
Basically, there's a big audio console. Those days are actually kind of going with all the computer technology and everything that is happening. I mean, years ago, we used to have all these knobs and levers and bells and whistles in front of us. Now you can basically do it on your phone. I mean, it really comes down to that. But you walk into my room, there is some old equipment in my room. Turntable, a reel-to-reel tape machine. Very analog, not digital, but most of our work is done on digital. And I have about four or five computers in there that allow me to do editing of audio, change different sounds. We run an automation system for our audio on the station, so therefore that has a separate box, and that audio goes in. And so it's a manipulation of different things. So it's just a square room with soft walls that I get to bounce off every now and then, with a little slit under the door where you can slide a pizza and feed me every now and then.
Dave King is with us, creative director at KMOX Radio. And you have, I think, a quick turnaround time because it's digital. You can do things very quickly. Let's say Charlie Brennan has the governor mm-hmm. on his show, and the governor says something very important, they'll give that to you. You can turn that around, and by the afternoon, there could be somebody saying, if you didn't hear Charlie Brennan,
we actually can do that within 10 minutes. I know that sound. It's everything that happens on KMOX is recorded. We record everything, and we archive it, and we save the good parts, and we even save the bad parts. So when something happens like Charlie, has the governor on and says that, or for instance, you were talking about a Cardinals and Goldschmidt coming on, we can turn that into a promo instantly. And it happens that fast. I mean, this is a very, very quick medium. It doesn't take a lot to do audio because we don't have to go and set up a camera somewhere. We don't have to find talent to put them in front of the camera. Television is a very hurry up and wait state. You're waiting to get the story out. You have to wait for it to be produced and put together and assembled and graphics being built. Not with radio, not with audio. We grab it and away we go.
Dave, I tried to look this up, how long you've been at KMOX. My guess is I'm going to go 12 years.
A little bit longer. It'll be 15 come this September. I will be starting my 15th year this September. So, yeah, it's been a long time, and it's a great place. I mean, it's a lot of fun. A lot of people come through during the day. You get a chance to meet people and talk to people. I mean, it's kind of fun. You're sitting in your room working on something, and all of a sudden Bob Costas knocks on the door and goes, "Hi, Dave, I'd like to record something." "Come on in, Bob. I haven't seen you in 2.5 years, and you remember my name." You know, and so you get that every now and then. Or, like you said, the governor will come through and, you don't know this man, and you get introduced to him. So there's a chance to meet these people. And
15 years tells you a couple things. One, you're good at it, and they like you. But also that you do like it. I mean, you must really like being associated with the brand.
I have been doing I will let the cat out of the bag, but I started in radio as an April Fool's joke. Not really, but April 1st, 1974. That's when I first had my first full-time radio job. And I had done some work prior to that, filling in for, some friends on the summertime, and that's how I kind of got my feet wet in radio. But I actually went out and started looking for a job, and I was just out of high school, and it was like, time to do this. And I ended up becoming a board operator at a radio station in Ottawa, Canada, which is actually where I'm from. So I did that for About 3.5 years, I was a producer, board operator. I ran the controls for the disc jockeys. And then somebody said, gee, Dave, you have a good voice. Why don't you get on the air? And I said, okay, I will. How do I do this? And he said, well, I'm opening a little station north of Toronto, and I'd love you to come up there and be our evening announcer. So I became a boss rock jock about 1978. And that was my first real radio on-air gig.
More of Profiles coming up on KMOX. Now, back to Profiles on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
We're back on KMOX Profiles. Dave King is our guest. In fact, I think we just had Dave King introduce Dave King.
As a matter of fact, you did.
Yes.
And gosh, I think I sounded good.
I think you did. KMOX Profiles with our KMOX creative director, who before the break was talking about how he is from Canada. He's from Ottawa, and he sits here drinking a cup of coffee, wearing a blue quarter zip with the Blues logo on it. That is a nice Under Armour product. Where'd you get that?
I got that at the Blues store.
That is nice.
Yeah, isn't that? Yeah.
It's comfy. You're a hockey fan.
Oh, big hockey fan. Big hockey fan. Go to the Blues games. Love the Blues. It's kind of funny. I used to play hockey. And when I started playing hockey, I was born in England. There's a little backstory here. My mother was a professional skater, and she skated with Sonia Henie. And Sonia Henie was kind of like she was an Olympic gold medalist at one time. She went on to develop the predecessor to Ice Capades, which was called Holiday on Ice. She made some movies and the whole bit, but my mother was what is known as an adagio skater in the ensemble cast that she had in this Holiday on Ice show. So as a child growing up, of course, you know, moms want their sons to do things that they're doing. So I learned to skate at a very young age in figure skates.
And where was that?
That was in England. Was in England. And about 8 years old, we moved from England to Canada, and I ended up living in Edmonton where my father's parents were.
But you don't have an accent at all.
No, I don't have an accent.
But you weren't influenced by it or anything like that. I mean, did you as a kid?
Yeah, apparently I had a really nice English accent.
Hey, Tom, how are you doing? Nice to talk to you, chap. Good day. Hello. Chip, chip. Cheerio.
I really don't have an accent. As a matter of fact, people say I don't even have a Canadian accent.
I notice it once in a while.
Yes, organization. There you go. There's the one word that kills me. Organization.
And so. It's interesting because you do come to me sometimes. You're like, how do you pronounce this? Or I'll hear you pronounce something on the air that is, in Canada, it is a lot different than here.
I still spell color with a U. So, I mean, there, you know, aluminium versus aluminum. So there were a number of, there's a number of things. But, you know, I really don't have the accent.
So you moved to Canada when you were eight.
Moved to Canada when I was eight. So loved skating. And, you know, of course, Canada, I mean, Edmonton, you're going to play hockey outside in the wintertime. And I was the fastest thing on two skates because I had figure skates. They had hockey skates. And I'd dig those little picks in the front end, and I would just be gone. And took it off from there. So played hockey for a number of times. Never played it professionally. Never really got into it other than as a leisure sport. But it was a lot of fun. Still put on the skates. Actually took my 4-year-old son last weekend skating for the first time.
Oh, wow. How did that go?
We lasted about 15 minutes.
That's all right. That's not bad.
It was fabulous. As a matter of fact, he got his skates on. We put his skates on. And he ran through the doors and onto the ice before I even had my skates on. And I'm trying to now chase him and get to him. And he got about 5 to 6 feet on the ice and went, okay, this isn't fun. And turned around and kind of made his way back. But we went around about 2 laps. And then his little ankles got sore. And he said, Daddy, stop.
Yeah, okay. He'll pick it up.
Yeah.
So you were talking about how you got into radio. You were in Toronto. How old were you then?
Well, I was 18, and I was in Ottawa, and I fell into it. It was really kind of funny. I had a friend of mine who wanted to go on summer vacation. He ended up saying, if you can fill in for me, I'll teach you what needs to be done.
It was a guy that owned a Toronto radio station?
It was an Ottawa radio station. He was basically a board operator, producer type thing. And he ran a midnight to 6 a.m. show on a country station that played classical music from midnight till 6 a.m. Strange Canadian radio regulations at that time. But so he taught me how to cue up a record and start a tape machine and follow a script. So I did that for 2 weeks and fell in love with it, and then started hanging around the radio station and seeing what I could do and this, that, and the other. And there was a radio station across the street. And I, you know, when you're young, you really don't know much about the business. Well, there was this other station looking for an evening producer. So I went over there with my tape and a little resume that I had and talked to a person by the name of Al Pascal, who became a great mentor to me. And as a matter of fact, taught me, I would say, 99% of my production skills. He was a genius with a razor blade and tape back in those days. And I became a producer and ended up being a board operator for a person by the name of Tom Jeffries. And none of these names will make sense to you, but, you know, these were very big Canadian people. And I started, that's how I started. And I started learning my production skills and listening to what Al was saying. And then the fun part of all of that was about a year and a half into working there, we picked up a show, because this was the 70s. This was about 75, 76. Wolfman Jack was doing a midnight special show.
Legend.
Legend. He was also doing a radio show, and he would show up at our station about once a month or so for about 6 months, and I would work with Wolfman and produce a version of the American Graffiti radio show in Canada, and it would be a show that was syndicated out to, we were owned by Chum at that time, and they had stations from Vancouver to Halifax, and I would put this three-hour show together every week and on reel-to-reel tape, and we bung it in the mail and send it off to all the other stations. And then occasionally he would actually come in and do the show live on a Saturday night, and which was a hoot and a half. So Wolfman Jack, got a chance to work with him, or Bob Smith in real life.
Bob Smith.
Robert Smith, yeah.
What did you learn from Wolfman Jack?
The studio is your friend. He did not like working live. He loved being in the studio because you can do multiple takes. You make a mistake, you say something wrong, you can correct it. What else did I learn from him? I would say probably that he was a gentleman, and he cared about how he presented himself to the public. He was a smoker, never wanted to be seen when he was around a group of people that he was meeting as Wolfman Jack with a cigarette in his hand. And he would occasionally nudge you and he would just hand it to you or throw it on the ground or whatever, but he never wanted to be seen that way. And he wore eye makeup. So, I mean, how could you go wrong with a guy who wears eye makeup?
What made him so good? I mean, why is he considered to be one of the innovators, let's say, of our medium?
He had a niche. I mean, if you listen to him, and I can play a little bit of what he sounded like. This is when I was working at a station in Ottawa called CFRA, which was kind of a combination news, sports, music station. Talk the whole, it was kind of a potpourri of everything, but I'll give you a little snippet of what he sounded like.
I owe you sweet people down there in sweet people's land. CFRA's grand, baby.
Just a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You got it all right here at CFRA. And as you know, we had to dismiss Muriel. She got tired. She couldn't do so. Ruth is here now to give us the weather.
So there you have it. A little taste of Wolfman Jack from 1976. And what made him unique, to answer your question, was he had a personality. He could deliver. And he found this little niche that nobody else was doing. He was able to, you know, develop this persona based upon a little bit part that he had in American Graffiti. You know, I think that was a Ron Howard movie, if I'm not mistaken. And he grew upon that. But he had a following back in his days when he was down in Mexico and broadcasting across the border on, you know, 500 million watts. And he just grew on that. But he was a true, warm person, you know. And he cared about his craft, and he worked it.
This is a 50,000-watt radio station that is unique in that. Not unique. There are other 50,000-watt radio stations, but there really aren't any in this area. So our signal just blasts all over the country. In fact, we still get people who are in Canada who can hear KMOX.
I remember listening to Cardinals games on the AM dial in Ottawa when I was a kid. You go around and spin the dial, and there was a Cardinals game being played. So that was, it's, you know, it's amazing that the reach that you have. And, you know, listening to this radio station, you know, across the country, I've been in Denver, and you can, you know, driving down 70 back towards St. Louis, you can pick us up. You know, you're up in Toronto, you can pick us up. And it's a unique radio station. So for me to be a part of it is also, you know, very honoring. It's, you know, I have a lot of fun. And, of course, every time I come on, I turn you up. So.
More of Profiles coming up on KMOX. Now, back to Profiles on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Dave King is our guest on KMOX Profiles. I'm Tom Ackerman. Dave is our creative director at KMOX. He's been here for coming up on 15 years now at this radio station. We're located downtown and have been. And Dave, who grew up in Ottawa and worked in the great city of Toronto, is now in one of the great cities, sports cities in America, certainly in St. Louis and at KMOX, voices a lot of the things that you hear during Cardinals games, Blues games, weather, news. A lot of the things that you hear imaging the radio station are Dave's big booming voice, the big boy voice, as we like to say.
Yeah. We've got a bit of a big voice. You know, it was interesting when I was a child growing up. My father was a professional singer, and he has a wonderful voice. But people would call up and go, "Hi, David. Hi." And my father's name is the same as mine. You go, "Hi, David. How are you doing?" And I'd pick up the phone and go, "I'm doing good. How are you?" "Not bad. Did you hear about Aunt Shirley? You know, she's doing this." "Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, that's great." And I'd have these conversations with people, and they thought at the time that I was 14, 15 years old that they were talking to my father.
Wow. So you always had kind of a deep...
It was nothing that was school. I've never been schooled. I've never had a vocal coach. I did learn to sing from my father, of course, but... you know, it was just, I was very, very fortunate that this was the way it came out.
Your dad was a singer and recorded with Columbia Records.
Yeah, we'll go backwards in time. I think I mentioned earlier on my mother was a skater with Sonia Henie. I grew up in a very, very theatrical family. Both parents were in show business. My father was a professional singer. Back in the days when I was in England before, I remember going to many shows with him where we would have friends come over to the house after the show. And those friends were people like Benny Hill and Harry Secombe and Peter Sellers. And these, you know, I was too young to really remember all of this. And my father was doing a TV show called Lunchbox, where he was a singer on it at that time and recorded for Columbia Records. And he ended up doing, I think, probably 5 or 6 different 45s that actually got released across. But it was the late 50s, and it was kind of the change that was coming into music. Skittle was coming in. You had Tommy Tune. The Beatles hadn't quite hit yet. And so it was, my father was kind of going out, and the new sound was coming in. And that's what kind of set the stage for us to move to Canada. He said, "Yeah, I'm kind of done with this." So we ended up living in Wiesbaden, Germany for a year, where he kind of performed at different clubs there on a nightly basis. And then we moved to Edmonton, Alberta. And even then, he still continued with singing, and we ended up having people coming over. And I do remember these people, Robert Goulet and Rich Little. You know, these were people that became friends of the family. And my mother had given up skating. And my father used to do this Sunday show on a radio station where he would sing for, I guess, about half an hour. They would do different songs during this half-hour show. And I used to go in with him, and I was about 10 or 11 years old. And they used to record him singing to record, not to reel-to-reel tape, but to record. And they had these big transcription record players with a lathe on them. And there would be an operator there looking through a magnifying glass. And as my father sang, this technician would be brushing away the filings with a horsehair brush. And there would be an acetate of my father singing. So I've got a few of his records at home on these, you know, performed live to record songs. You know?
Wow.
Yeah.
He grew up around show business.
Yeah, I grew around.
You know, so nothing really would surprise you at this point. I mean, you've seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it. But I mean, you kind of like, you know, when you're a young person, you're very much oblivious to it. But you know, it was fun to grow up in a home with a father who sang, and like I said, he did record for Columbia Records, and you know, did a number of let me give you a little debut. This will be my father's American debut, okay, of a song that was played in England, and we're talking, wow, 50-odd years. So it's taken him a while to hit the charts, but here's a little taste of something for you.
How can I still pretend our love will never end? I'm just not that kind. For you're still on my mind, and heartbreak is new to me. I try.
All right, so that's Dad. There you go. And he's still alive, 93 years old, and he still sings.
David King.
Well, close. We won't close. Give you the real name.
Okay,
but,
gotcha.
You know, we change our names in radio. As a kid, I was called Butch, so we'll just leave.
Got it. Dave, you have lived in four countries. England. Am I right? England, Germany, Canada, United States, any others?
No, but I like to travel.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So before St. Louis, immediately before here, where were you?
I was in Las Vegas. It was kind of an interesting thing. I'd gone through a marriage, and my mother and my sister had actually moved over the years to Las Vegas. And I said, well, you know, I'm up working in Canada. It's time to move on. So I took a gamble, sold the house, sold everything I pretty well had, put what, you know, personal items I wanted into a storage facility, and got in my car and drove to a city I had never visited before. Never even, I knew about Las Vegas, but I had never been there. And I remember driving over the hill and going, oh, this is Vegas? Oops. So I got there, and I had actually kind of, to a little degree, had fallen out of radio. I was still doing voice work. I was doing television work. But I had gotten more into marketing and doing promotional work for different things. And my sister was the box office manager at the Flamingo Hotel. And she had set me up with a meeting to go and talk to there. And I was going to try and get into the marketing side of the hotel industry. I thought this would be kind of cool. Well, she called me about a week before I was leaving. And she said, there's a radio station looking for an evening announcer. Maybe you should give them a call. I'll give you something to do when you get here. So I picked up the phone, talked to the program director. Last thing I ever did in Canada was went to the post office and FedExed a tape and a resume to this person in Vegas. I arrived on a Monday. I was on the air Tuesday night. I had no idea what I was doing or where I was. And it was, I actually got lost going home that night. It took me 2.5 hours to figure out where I lived. I had no idea where I was. And so I started back doing the radio thing, and then ended up actually doing some promotional work. And a station was looking for a person to do the imaging and the voice work. And that's when it all kind of, you know, really, so this is about 92, started to really mesh. And I ended up doing a lot of country stations and a lot of classic oldie stations around the country. And I would do them from the station, the company we're involved in, and would do group contesting and all sorts of things, and then do television promos and commercials. And Vegas is a very busy place when it comes to that.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. And there's a lot of, you know, at that time, a lot of the things we do today are through our phones, but back then, there was a lot of calling up, and you'd say, you know, press 1 for this, press 2 for that. Did you voice a lot of that?
Actually, I was the wake-up voice at the Flamingo at one time. You know, good morning, thank you for staying at the Flamingo Hotel. This is your wake-up call. And there was a thing that they did in Bugsy Siegel's 50th anniversary that I ended up doing a narration for and did a little on-camera piece. And that played in the Bugsy Theater for over a year. And I did a lot with the Flamingo. And at one time, they actually had me do a tour of the Flamingo and explained to everybody the different elements, like the sports book and the roulette area and the slots. And you could turn me on in your room on the television, and I would give you this grand tour of the Flamingo and where to go spend your money.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I've done a little bit of that. Just, you know, one year the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra asked me to record something that was, you know, along the lines of, "Welcome to Powell Hall. Please silence your phones." You know.
Oh yeah.
Please no photos or whatever it is. You know, those kind of things are fun to think about. What about sports? What did you aside from KMOX? What other sports were you involved in?
I was a skier. I love to ski. Spent a lot of time. I've skied around the world, as a matter of fact. I've skied in Italy. I've skied in Switzerland, in Banff, in Canada, in the United States. Yeah, it was one of those sports that, you know, took me everywhere because I liked it so much. So it was. I was always on the boards.
And you worked in Toronto.
Worked outside, just a little outside of Toronto, Hamilton, which is kind of a big city by itself.
Yes,
but,
it is.
Worked in Hamilton for about 11, 12 years. And it was my last stop before coming here. You know, great sports town, you know, the Tiger Cats. And, you know, of course, Toronto is a great sports town, too. I mean, you know, you had, you know, the Leafs. I mean, I used to go to all the Leafs games. Our station was involved with the Leafs and involved with the Blue Jays. So it was always fun to either go to Sky Dome or to go to Old Maple Leaf Gardens and, you know, sit down and watch a game. And
just so people understand, like, the Toronto Maple Leafs are like the New York Yankees in Canada, but even more so. I think that if the Maple Leafs ever won the Cup and they are tied with the Blues for the longest drought in the league, it would be, in a lot of ways, aside from their rival cities, a national celebration, would it not?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, between that and the Blue Jays winning their first World Series, and which was great because there are the Jays going to the World Series, and where am I? In Australia. And I couldn't figure out how to even watch a game because it was yesterday or today, tomorrow, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 hour, carry the two, trying to figure out what time they were playing. So when I came home, they had already won it. And it was like, that is so cool. And the city was just, you know, lit up. But they didn't win it in Toronto the first year. They won it outside.
Maybe the Blues will get one for you.
Wouldn't that be nice?
More of Profiles coming up on KMOX. Back to Profiles on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Final few minutes with Dave King on KMOX Profiles. I'm Tom Ackerman. Dave, my next door neighbor here at the station, is our creative director, and I've wanted to do this for a long time, so I'm glad we got to do this. The voice that you hear throughout the day, I mean, he is a recognizable voice for sure, but now you get to know him a little bit more. And I'm just curious your thoughts on a couple of things. I want to talk about KMOX kind of at the end and St. Louis, but radio. What do you think about radio? What is its future? What is its present? Do you?
Wow.
I mean, you are in it, and you've been in it for a long time, and it changes. What makes it stand the test of time? Because it has.
I think what makes radio stand the test of time is the entertainment factor of it. The fact that if you're live and you're local, a lot of places now are using talent from different markets. They read a weather forecast off the computer screen for a city they're not in. It doesn't have that feel. What makes KMOX special, I think, is the fact that we are live. We are local. We can talk to the community about the community. You know, we mention things that are happening. We take sports. We take news. You know, even the weather. We take pride in presenting that to our listeners. Now, as far as radio changing, yeah, it's a very segmented thing these days. I think you've got, you know, with you know, the advent of YouTube and Hulu and Vudu and all these different services where people can go and watch, you know, podcasts and this. But we produce those now. You know, we're part of what's happening as far as video is concerned. And we're right there with that group of people. So even though it's segmented and you may want to get something different, you can find what we do in different areas. You know, for instance, this podcast or this interview will be podcast on KMOX.com. You can go and click on audio, and you can listen to this to your heart's content. And I would love you to do that.
Oh, they will.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I know Mom and Dad will. So you can find these things now. So, you know, it's how you deliver, but I think content is king. I mean, content really is king. It's the same as watching a TV show. If the TV show isn't that good, you're not going to watch it tomorrow or the next week that it pops up. when it comes to radio, if it's good, it's good. You're going to be there. And, you know, that's basically my thought on it.
I really feel like the company that we work for, Entercom, and we have five radio stations here at this building. KMOX is just one of five. And we have KZK, Y98, Now 96.3, and then we also have KFTK, which is an FM talk station, 97.1. That's just part of it, though, the radio stations, the events, the video, like you said, the digital side of it. We're a media company now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's you know, the old days radio, a lot of people, if you go back to when radio was really in its heyday, well, when has it really been in its heyday? Prior to television being invented, people still went to the movies. And when movies came out, you know, radio went, oh my goodness, they're never going to listen to us again. They're all going to go to the movies. Then television came out and radio went, oh, they're never going to listen to us. You know, they're going to be watching television all the time. And then time shifting came out with the advent of VCRs and people able to record their TV shows and play them back at a different time. Oh, they're never going to watch our show again. They're all going to just tape it and watch it, whatever. So television has gone through an interesting thing. Radio has gone through much the same, but it survived, and it survived for a long time. People used to come in to, and I mean, we have pictures kicking around here of the old KMOX building with a studio, but it was a theater where people used to come and sit down and watch a performance from a pianist or a singer or a band. And they would sit in this huge room with all these microphones. You know, I remember my mother, the first time I ever took her to my radio station where I was working, and I said, this is where I work, Mom. And she looked at me and went, wow, it's so small. I was expecting people with clipboards and microphones hanging all over the place. She says, you're working basically in your bathroom. And I said, yeah, I work in a little, you know, 10 by 10 room. That's what I do. That's where we are now.
It is, although Greg Sankey, I remember I had him in, the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference, the SEC, and he said, this is the best radio setup I've ever seen. He said, this radio station, you know, we don't know. I mean, I've worked here for 21 years. You go to work every day, and sometimes maybe you take it for granted, but he said that he loved the setup and the size of this radio station. We actually do have, I mean, it's like 25,000 square feet, one floor of the Park Pacific. It's pretty massive.
It's cool. I mean, I will tell you that when I first started, I mentioned earlier about the Vegas thing, when the first station I worked at in Las Vegas was so cheap and thrown together that we actually had egg carton crates on the wall for soundproofing.
It.
And I'm not making that up.
Well, I really enjoy this. I love having you part of the station, of course, and you're just KMOX. We love that fact, but that you voice a lot of very important things. And what I want to hear out of you at the end of October is this promo. Congratulations to the 12-time world champion St. Louis Cardinals. That's like what I look forward to. Is your
congratulations? They battled for years. They've gone 11 times. Now they've made it number 12. They are the world champion, St. Louis Cardinals.
And then you have like Shannon's call in the background.
Oh, they've done it! It's unbelievable.
I love it. Or Kerber calling the Stanley Cup.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
Oh, beautiful. Dave, we appreciate it very much. Thank you for
Tom,
being with us.
Thank you. This has been fun. And to all my KMOX cohorts who never really get a chance to know what I'm doing, now you do.
You can always hear it on KMOX.com. It's KMOX Profiles. That's Dave King, our creative director. I'm Tom Ackerman. Thanks for joining us in this hour of KMOX Profiles.
You've been listening to Profiles. If you missed any of this episode or to hear other profiles, go to KMOX.com and click On Demand.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.